Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Bruce.
My name is Bruce, if you don't know that already. And, you know, I want to say one thing. I want to say, let's give Henry a hand for stepping up there today. Thank you, Henry. That was awesome. You know, when you get to hear somebody speak from the heart, there's nothing like it, man. It's so touching. But so thank you, Henry. Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity this morning to speak about your word on healing. Lord, you are the great healer. You've healed a whole bunch of people in here, Lord, and including myself. And so I pray, Lord, this morning that I would speak your word clearly, and that we would follow your direction when it comes to praying healing prayer, Lord. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, sometimes when I'm teaching God's word, I feel so inadequate, you know. But you know what? That's the secret to my walk with Christ, is that every time, because God puts things in front of my path and I feel inadequate for, and I step out in faith, and he supplies the power. And that is way more powerful than anything that I can imagine, because the things that I know how to do, that I'm confident and I could do, anybody can do that. But to actually step out in faith and trust God that he's going to supply what you need. You know, this is the last place I thought I would be, you know, 15 years ago. I was up here teaching God's word, but that's where I am. That's where God's called me, and I'm so grateful for that. So today we're gonna have just a little bit of message on healing, and then we're going to have the elders and the leadership come up, and we're going to pray over people. Now, last time we did this, we had somebody fainted, and so we kind of broke up into smaller groups, and that was fine. But I really want this to be, I want the elders and the leadership to pray over people, because that's what the word says to do. Okay, that's what the word calls us to do. And when we broke it up into smaller prayers, it was nice and it was a prayer, but I want the leaders and the elders to pray over people, and it's something powerful about it. In AA, there's a saying that says you can't give away what you don't have, right? And so elders have walked this walk for a while. They have a connection with God, and so that's why he calls them to pray over people. And it doesn't mean they're any better than anybody. It just means that they have something to give away. And you'll see that in the word I have for you today. So we're going to go to Acts 1. Oop, wrong way. I still haven't learned all this time. The prayer of faith is what we're going to call this today. All this time, I still go the wrong direction. So I know that's a lot of text there, but we're not going to go through it too deeply, but we're gonna touch on everything in here. So I apologize if you can't read it. I made it the font 36, but apparently that's not big enough. So next time we'll be. Anyway, I'm gonna read through this and then we'll go back through it a little bit. This is Acts 3, 1 through 5. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask for alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And there's a couple things in here that I think really stand out. Did anybody want to take a guess what the ninth hour is? Anybody know what the ninth hour is? That's just true. You think it's like you read this and you think, oh, I didn't know. I mean, I know now because I did the research, but it's basically 3 p.m. All right, so it's kind of like sunrise to sunset. That's how the time is. And can anybody think of anything else significant that happened at the ninth hour? Huh? The crucifixion? Yeah, that's the hour when Jesus said it is finished, right? It's the same hour. So, you know, I don't know, you know, usually scripture doesn't say something if it's not there for a reason. So, you know, this is pretty fresh, right? What happened with Jesus. So perhaps that's why they mention it. I don't know. But, you know, the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, 3 p.m., the same time. I don't know if it's significant or not, but to me, I feel there's a connection there. But, you know, that's kind of how God works sometimes. His word will connect with one person and a different way to another person. And so for me, that's the connection that I have. There's the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And then it goes on to say, a man lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask for alms of those entering the temple, to ask for money, basically, right? And the amazing thing here is it says, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which means that Jesus probably walked by this guy more than once, okay? And you think, well, why didn't Jesus heal him when he walked by him? He must have seen him there. He must have seen him begging, right? So it's a mystery kind of sometimes to us. Well, why didn't he heal this person? Well, you know, sometimes when it comes to us getting healing, it's not always the timing we think it should be. And Jesus probably had another. And so we'll see later that his purpose with what happened here in the story was ultimately fulfilled, right? But when it happens for us, we're like, Lord, why won't you heal me? Why won't you heal this situation? Why won't you fix this part of my life that's causing me suffering? And he has his purpose. So we have to understand there's a little bit of mystery here, but there's also, it's about faith. It's about trusting God. And God tells us, hey, I gave you my son. Trust me. Whatever I tell you, you can trust me. It may not look like it's something, but you can trust me. And that's really what we're asking here. He's asking us to trust him, right? That's what faith is trust. I mean, you could say I have faith in something, but if you're not going to, you know, faith in your parachute, but you don't jump out the plane, you don't have a whole lot of faith in it, right? So I think it's significant that Jesus had to see this guy. You know, he was probably in and out of there a bunch of times during his ministry. And this beautiful gate, they call it the beautiful gate because apparently it was laced in gold or something like that, which is, how do they say it? Josephus described the gate of the Temple Mount made of fine Corinthian brass, 75 feet high with huge double doors, so beautiful that it greatly excelled those that were only covered over with silver and gold. So we're talking a great door. It's a great gate. I don't know why they, like I said, I don't know what's significant about that either. But anyway, so this guy's been sitting there for daily. We don't know how long, lame from birth. Could be decades that he's been laying there asking for money. And so seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when people are, in my past, when people would beg for money or ask for something, I would never look them in the eye because I was either too embarrassed for them or myself. I don't know what it was, right? Because I didn't see them as a person. I saw them as an inconvenience. I would probably say that would be the best way to describe it. Not anymore, but before I knew the Lord, that was an inconvenience to me, and I didn't want to look at them, and they weren't, to me, they weren't significant, right? And that's a horrible way to look at people. You know, when I was being mentored by Lynn Fox, she taught me one thing, was that every person is made in the image of God. It doesn't matter where they are. If they're on death row, where they are, everybody is made in the image of God, and everybody has that. And so when we look at people, we need to look them in the eye. We need to look at that person, not their situation or whatever, but the person. And it's really hard to do sometimes. It's heartbreaking sometimes, but that's what he's talking about. He's saying, Peter's directly gazing at him. Could you imagine Peter gazing at you saying that? I mean, that would be pretty overwhelming. And then John said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. So they give him the expectation. First of all, they're like, look at us. And he's all, I'm going to do this because I might get something out of this. They're looking at each other directly in the eyes, right? It's not just kind of like, you know, this is a personal interaction here, a very intimate personal interaction here. Now, here's the thing is this guy's asking for money, right? But he's lame. He's not even asking them, hey, heal me or pray for my healing. He's just saying, give me money because he thinks he knows what's good for him, right? He thinks he knows what's best for himself. I need to get money. That's the best thing I can do for myself right now. I don't know about you if you can relate to that, but that's how I was. I just wanted to get clean and sober, right? I wanted to still continue to stay in pornography and live my and steal and lie and cheat as long as I could not drink, right? And so when I asked to not drink, God said, no, I got a whole lot more for you than just not to drink, right? Or not to use, right? And I mean, at first it was like, hey, I didn't sign up for all this change. I just wanted the one thing, right? But the cool thing is that when you start getting a life of joy and love and peace, you're like, oh my goodness, I don't want to just stay clean. I want my whole life change, you know? Like, what's his name? Who said it when he said, oh Lord, wash my whole body, right? That was Peter, right? It's like, he's all, you're not going to wash my feet. And he's all, well, you can't be in my kingdom. He's all, wash me all over, right? That's what I want God to do. And if you're want only just a little bit, that's not what God's in the business of. God's can completely change in lives. Yes. Oh, I didn't say that. Well, we're going to get to that. But they're not saying we don't give money, okay? It's not, but that's not the only thing. Okay. No, there's nothing wrong with that.
So, so when it's designed for people, some people are seen as like, you got to have some people look down.
No. No.
That person that's out there, whoever is out there doing what they're doing, it's been designed a lot of times like the homeless around here, right?
Right. It's okay. So I understand where you're coming from. It's okay. Thank you. Thank you. You make me think and you make me wrestle with this. So thank you for your input. Okay. It doesn't say to not just give them alms. It doesn't say to only give them, pray for them or whatever. This isn't saying to not give alms. You do both. Don't just give money, right? Because there's a lot of churches that will just throw money at things. And the government does it, just throws money at problems, and that never fixes them, right? What fixes is the interpersonal relationships between people. People that have already received what God has given, that has offered, and then we offer it to other people. That's how recovery works. That's how this whole walk with Christ works, right? God heals us and saves us, and then we go and step into people's lives. It's not us to just come on church on Sunday and go, hey, all the pastors and the leaders up there, they take care of all the people. No, it's our job to take care of the people. We're the saints, right? The leadership, they're supposed to equip the saints to go out and do the work, right? So you're right. And I'm gonna address that in a minute, a little bit about the alms. Because this guy's asking for alms, but he needs more than that, right? He needs more than money. And that's the point here, at least my point. And I'll try to go on. Oop, backwards. No. It's the point. My point. No, just kidding. Sorry. Anyway, let me go on. Thank you, Andre. So Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So one of the songs, one of my favorite Christmas songs is Little Drummer Boy, right? And Little Drummer Boy had no money, right? But what he had, he gave. He played his drums to the Lord. He played his drums at his best they possibly could. It's all he had. But he gave everything he had. And that's the point here, right? Is that Peter said, I don't have any money. I'm just as broke as you are, buddy. But what I do have, I will offer you. And for me, what the life God's given me has changed my heart to the point to where I want to help people, to where I want to lift people up out of their darkness where I was, right? And if that means help them financially, that too. But not only that, because sometimes it's more heartless to just give money and walk away. Yeah. It's more to give, right? It's to give your time and your life to somebody. There's nothing like it. And the reward for it's amazing. So in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And so when I'm talking about God's purpose was fulfilled, is because here it was fulfilled here, right? He got to show that not only just himself, his apostles that are filled with the Holy Spirit had the same power to help this man heal. So this was more glorifying to God than if Jesus had healed this guy himself, I believe. Right? I mean, it's awesome when Jesus healed people, but his apostles healed people, right? And then that goes down to us. It doesn't mean, I can lay my hands and guarantee I'm going to heal somebody, but if the power of the Holy Spirit's coming through me, I can extend that to someone else. God has allowed us to do that. It's amazing, right? And like I said in AA, you can't give away what you don't have. So first make sure you're healed, right? First make sure that God's healed you and he's working in your life. And then there's some power in that. And, you know, leaping up, he stood up and began to walk. He got way more than he bargained for, right? He got way more than he bargained for. So God's purpose was fulfilled in this, even though it didn't look like that was at that point. Anybody have any questions or comments? So listen to this. I love this story right here. The lame man simply wanted to be supported in the condition that he was in. God had something better in mind. Jesus wanted to completely change his condition. That's what happened to me. I don't know about you, but that's what God did to me. I wanted just very little, and he gave me this whole thing. But of course, when you're asking for something, he gives that to you. You have to be open to more, right? He's not going to force it on you. You have to go, you know what? You gave me this. I want more. I want everything you have to give me, Jesus. And you'll get a life like you never imagined. Doesn't mean, you know, you're not going to have ailments that will go. It doesn't mean that you'll have ailments that will go away every time. We're going to continue to have them. But listen to this. Good save. Good thing that was a microphone. You're part of. For some people to say, silver and gold I do not have, which is going along with what Andre was saying, is about the worst thing that can be said. They feel the church is in ruins if they must say, silver and gold I do not have. But it is much worse if the church never has the spiritual power to say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Right? There is a story, perhaps true, about a humble monk walking with a Roman Catholic cardinal at a time in the Middle Ages when the Roman Catholic Church was at its zenith of power, prestige, and wealth. The cardinal pointed out to the opulent surroundings and said to the monk, "We no longer have to say, silver and gold I do not have." And the monk replied, "But neither can you say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So, you know, all the stained glass and all that doesn't mean anything if the power of Jesus isn't working in your life and extended to the people's lives as well. And, you know, I was always, first times we did these healing services, I was really uncomfortable with them, but I get more comfortable the more I do them, because I've seen people come up a couple weeks later, "You know what? You guys prayed over me?" I'm like, "It's worse." I've had that said to me, seriously. "It's worse now." Well, you know what? I don't know about you, but when I came to know the Lord, it got worse before it got better. It did. It got the worst it ever got in my whole life when I came to the Lord. But it was necessary. Anyway, let me move on to the next. So now we're going to go into James. This is what kind of inspired this healing service was James 5. James 5 says this: "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." And I would say that I don't think these are exclusive with each other, right? Suffering, we can still sing praise in suffering because of what he's already done in our lives, and that we can trust him, and that we're saved, and we're his, right? And we belong to him. So let him pray. I mean, if you're suffering, pray and sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? And it says, "Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord." Let's say them, okay? It's they, you know, the gender thing that they've always talked in him, but they mean all men, right? They mean men in general. But here's the thing is that, because, you know, last time when Missy fainted and we broke up into groups, it was a great time and we did pray for each other. And it's a less intimidating to come up in front of people to ask for healing prayer. But I would suggest to you that let him call for the elders of the church means that there's some onus on you. There is some responsibility on our part, right? It says, let him call for the elders. Not, let me go pray with them. I think it calls us to action, calls us to say, "Hey, I want to ask for this prayer," right? And not just, I mean, think about your situation that, you know, I mean, I'm having major wrist issues. I couldn't sleep the last two nights because of pain in my wrists and things like that. But my spirit is alive and I get to teach the scripture. So it sucks, but it hurts. But the thing is that when we're asking for something, don't think about just the ailment you have, but the whole person, your whole person, right? Sometimes it is sin that's in us that's causing physical ailments. We don't know. right? So we still need to confess our sins and all that. So I'm going to get to that right now. So it says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, which is what we're going to do right after this. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now notice it says the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. It doesn't say make well. It says he will save the one that's sick. Because there are denominations that will tell you if you're sick that your faith is weak. That's why you're sick. You have that ailment because you're, as a matter of fact, that's what Job's friend told Job, right? There must be some hidden sin in your life. That's why this is happening to you. That's why, you know, so that's not necessarily the case. So I'm not saying that you're sick, you confess your sins, you're going to get better, but your spirit's going to get better. That's part of it's going to be saved, right? So, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven, right? And here's where, I think this is where, I'm not absolutely positive. I forgot my AA book, but I think this is where the fifth step comes from right here. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So, you know, what's the fifth step? Admitted to God, ourselves, and another human being, the exact nature of our wrong. Doesn't say every human being. It says another human being, right? Doesn't mean we need to come out and confess our dirtiest, darkest secrets to everybody, but to somebody, right? And that's the power of the fourth and fifth step, is that not only are you seeing who you really are, then you're admitting it to people. And man, I tell you, when I did my fifth step, it was like this load of lead on my back came off of it, because I don't have to hide this anymore. It's out in the open. Everybody knows it. It's freeing, and it's there's no freedom like it. And that's what it's saying here. Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other. Say, you know what? Yes, Andre.
I have something to say about that.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're all supposed to confess our sins to one another, right? There's some people I see in here that are never going up there, nowhere.
Right.
Now we're all Christians. We're all here. We're trying to be Christians.
That's right.
Some people won't say nothing.
That's right. But this word is to everybody individually. It's for Andre and for Bruce. For Bruce to go, Bruce, are you living this? Not to go, is he living it? Is he living it? Am I living it?
I'm not saying that. No, so no. I'm just saying this is just supposed to be like a natural phenomenon.
It is. But the thing is that let it be in your life. Absolutely, absolutely.
So everybody should know we're all one body, right? Everybody should know, hey, well, I had this problem, I had that.
Every football team that plays in the NFL doesn't go, hey, let's win the wild card, right? That's not their goal, right? Their goal is the Super Bowl, right? And for us, our goal is the perfect objective. Our goal is God's standard, right? Doesn't mean we'll ever reach it. Yes, Tom. That's right. That's right. But that's not for me to go, hey, Bob, Joe, and Steve isn't doing that. It's up to Bruce to go, am I doing that? And do it to the best of my ability. Because what you're doing, if doing is comparing myself to others and going, they don't do it.
What you're doing is, if a person will tell you what he needs, you'll never know.
That's right. And the same with you, right? Same with me. See, so we need to take this and put it to ourselves, not to anyone else, but to ourselves. Yes, ma'am. That's exact. Yes. You don't have to come up here and do it publicly to somebody. Confess your sins to somebody. So somebody that never came up here and said anything, they might have a sponsor that you don't know they've confessed everything to, or a friend or a mentor or some.
I don't know nothing about nothing.
That's good. Awesome. See, that's a good place to be, because I'm in the same place and I'm up here teaching. Yes, sir.
The man at the gate went away leaping.
That's right.
His miracle was there was a change in his mind, in his way of thinking. And the miracles that we're going to see today, you might not have a physical ailment, but but you've been doing wrong thinking.
That's right.
I told everybody here yesterday, last week, there's a beer named after me, Arrogant Bastard. Okay? I am admitting. I brought up here. I am admitting I'm arrogant. I've been healed. It's a change of mind. That's the miracle that we're
That's right.
working.
And I really believe that the gaze, the looking at the person as a person, I'm looking at you as a person, makes a huge difference. Because if you're just, you know, you're just kind of like, I want to help this person, but you're not really paying attention to them. I really think it's important that we look at each human being we're helping. And sometimes you got to dig it out of them. Sometimes you have to go, hey, I know you say you need money, but what else is going on in your life, right? Like Andy always says, you know, when they say on a scale of 1 to 9 or 1 to 10. Oh, wait, our scale is 10. That's right. I'm sorry. Before I came up with 9. Anyway, so the part about that we can't give away what you don't have, the Holy Spirit's working in your life. It can come and work out through you. If it's not, and you've got hidden sin or you've got things that you're not dealing with, unconfessed sin, the power is stopped. The power is thwarted. So to be completely lived and surrendered to Christ and he's working in you, he can work out of you. And this last thing here, I don't like this translation. It said the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. That is good, but I think this says it better. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So, you know, and elders, usually they're chosen by the people that these people, their lives exemplify the Lord, right? And that's why they're chosen to be elders, right? They're chosen to be elders. And so if you're going to come up as part of leadership and elders to come up and pray, make sure that you're right. Your walk is right. Or just don't come up and pray over people, right? Seriously. We can't pass along what we don't have. And then the other thing is that... This is the mystery part for me, is that we have faith, that we want God to heal us. We know he can. And then when he doesn't, we're like, well, why am I praying the faith with faith if he doesn't heal me? Well, like I said before, it's what's God's purpose in this thing? He later you might go, oh, that's why he did this, right? He didn't heal me right away. So if you pray and God doesn't heal you, that's okay. It doesn't mean that he hasn't listened to you and he hasn't heard your prayers and that he's not interested in your life. Because Paul in 2 Corinthians says this, because he's been given all these revelations and Paul is the great apostle, and he says this, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfect made in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So we don't have to go, oh, he didn't heal me. It makes us rely on him, right? I can't barely use a mouse anymore because of my wrist, right? There I'm, poor Bruce. I'm going to ask for healing prayer today, but if he doesn't heal me, I'm going to still continue to do it. Oh, I can't teach anymore because I can't use the mouse. No, I'll get some other software or something, right? But bottom line is that we're called to ask the elders for prayer when we need prayer. And it doesn't mean you have to wait for a healing service. Eric, quickly. That's right.
If you need a healing and you're not going to the Lord asking for that healing, he's going to get your attention on it and perhaps even invade your life. And when he does that, you don't exist.
Very possibly. And is that all you need? Is that all you need healing from? Maybe there's something deeper that needs healing and God may reveal that to you. Yes, Vern. There you go. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. Real quickly, we got to wrap this up. We got to start praying. Last one.
Money cured a whole bunch of problems for a whole bunch of people because if it wasn't the main whatever, they would have people that have to go to work, then they would allow other people to go to work. So money must be significant.
I didn't say it was insignificant. It's used in the proper way, then it's significant. But that's not the only. I'm going to have to move on. We're going to get to the prayer here. I'm sorry. I got to cut off at some point. I'm being directed, okay? I got to do this. I lost my thought. Darn it! One last thought. I got a. Sorry, Kelly. sorry, everybody. I got to stop. Let me get the thought that I had. The last thought I was going to have. The power is made perfect in my weakness. Right. That is. As believers, as we're walking through life with something, if we walk around complaining and stuff, it's not a very good witness, right? But walking around not complaining and going, I know I have this ailment, but I trust God, and He's the one that's behind me. He's the one that sustains me and everything, right?
Amen.
All right,
Amen.
Let me pray. Lord, thank You for this word You gave us. I pray, Lord, that You would prompt people that need healing to come up and ask for healing, Lord. They don't have to be specific about everything, but whatever You lead them, I pray, Lord, that You would prompt their heart to come up for prayer. And Lord, help us not to have our vision too small of what we want, but what You want is what we want. So Lord, we ask You for that, and we pray in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, does anybody know if there's anything happening after this today? Any classes after this? Okay, good. So we're open. If we get enough people asking for prayer, we can go on a little longer. So elders and leadership can come forward, and we're going to pray for people. So come on up, and we're going to anoint with oil because it says that that's what they did. And this is not anything special or magic about the oil, but it's a representation of the Holy Spirit. And we do what the Lord says, right? We do how the Lord directs us. And please do not feel embarrassed about coming up here for healing, because this is what this body is about, man. Like Henry was talking about, right? What he said, what he feels here, that's what we want everybody to feel. Yes, thank You for chairs for people that need prayer.